Hello everyone, my name is Jeff Hancock and welcome to the CoinPass podcast where we talk about fintech, crypto, blockchain, and trading and investing. Today I've got some really, really special guests, the co-founders Oleg and Gabriel from CoinRail. CoinRail is creating an investment ecosystem for traders that help them maximize their financial opportunities in a fun and educational way, and they help traders that want to automate their trading strategy without coding skills achieve that sort of independence. So welcome Gabriel and Oleg.
Hi
Hi,
everyone.
Jeff.
How are you guys doing today?
Very
Amazing.
well.
Good to hear. How have you guys been going during the whole COVID? Have you seen business kind of increase? Have you seen trading increase? How's it all been going for you guys?
I mean, funny enough, the business increased a lot. People were at home, so they were able to trade and spend more time on the trading platform.
Awesome. That sounds great. So let's kind of jump straight into it. Today we want to talk about, the retail trading revolution. Especially that key word for me is revolution of what's massively changing in the market right now. So when we talk about retail trading, and I'll ask you this one, Oleg, when it comes to retail trading, what do you use to kind of classify as retail traders to kind of anyone else in the market?
Sure. I mean, retail is just like, let's say, a regular person investing part of their savings. Like you have 10K saved up and you decide, hey, this crypto thing is great. Let me invest 3K into a few cryptos, see what happens. And the size that goes from, let's say, between 10 and up to 100K, and then above 100K, we're already talking about slightly more professional.
For sure. And what's kind of the revolution for these kind of traders? What are they kind of missing out on, and what do they have to look forward to?
So right now, the problem in markets is that the majority of trading flows are controlled by hedge funds, high-frequency traders, and algorithmic bots. And the regular trader is stuck basically competing with these professional traders without any tools that really help them to compete. So they basically get massacred in these markets.
Right.
The markets are 24/7 running. They don't really have any means to navigate them.
Would you agree with this as well, Gabriel?
Yeah, I mean that's true. Yeah, I mean what we do with the CoinRail, we give basically normal people, normal investors, the weapons to actually fight back these big banks. At the moment, there is like few business models out there with Robinhood, with free trade, that actually, they scam users. So every time they place a trade, they just outrun them because they sell the data to high frequency traders. So our approach is totally different. We want to be transparent and also give user actually some tools that can actually make sense of it. And if they have a good strategy, they can implement it in few clicks.
Right, and it's really interesting when you mentioned their data as well, where some of these companies actually don't, they make more money off their data sales and implementation rather than, the trading or spreads, etc. Can you just illustrate a little bit more on kind of how that works? What's the benefit of that kind of data that they have access to?
I mean, all I can go for it.
Yeah, sure. So for high frequency traders, any type of price move is an opportunity to make money because they make money on the margins on literally tiny, tiny, tiny percentage changes. If someone like Robinhood sells, places trades once per day or twice per day, but they have 13 million users, we're talking about quite significant volume. If you can pre-sell all those trading orders to a high frequency trader, he knows what's coming into the market. He can front run it and make money out of those users.
So it's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. If they know where the market's already going to go, they can trade in the opposite direction, take other positions, and obviously leverage up with their, greater amount of capital, right? And I
Exactly.
suppose that kind of answers the next question a little bit. I mean, kind of who's really dominating this, I suppose, crypto market specifically right now? Is it, the professionals? Is it the market makers? I mean, are retail traders, competing any other kind of way, or are they kind of just contributing to that flow?
I mean, there's
Gabriel.
a mixed bag of market makers together with professional traders. So all the old FX traders now they move to cryptocurrencies because it's much more fun. There are more opportunities, and then you have all the market makers as well that are like big institutions that have their crypto branch that are actually investing and moving the market and also doing partnerships with exchanges. So you have this mix. In terms of company, I mean, there is like Coinbase and Binance are kind of leading the like all the crypto revolution. But now we have seen in the last 3 months that finally the DeFi the tools like Compound and the DAO and everything else coming from that is actually pumping a lot. So there is a huge run that's been in the last 3 months with all the new decentralized applications. Mm.
And do you think, I suppose that kind of leads on to the next question, I'll go over to you, Oleg. Do you think the killer app for crypto is not just about, you know, revolutionizing the way that some of these markets work? I mean, obviously when you've got, you know, a digital asset, you know, like Bitcoin, Ethereum, etc., what that really gives you in terms of how wallets work, you can move that asset to any kind of trading venue. And that's kind of the main problem with traditional markets right now. You have a trade open on, say, your, you know, TD Ameritrade or your Hargreaves Lansdown. I can't move that stock or that share of their ETF to another platform. I have to liquidate it into fiat. I then have to move it. I have to cause a taxable event. Then I can reopen my position somewhere else. With crypto, that completely flips all that all on its head, because I can move my assets wherever I want. So, you know, is the killer app for crypto really that I can move my assets around, or is it something more about DeFi, something more about kind of tokenized assets?
I mean, killer app is a broad concept. It's like, you know, what was the killer app of the internet? Was it Facebook? Was it Amazon? Was it Google? You know, there are a million things that completely changed the way the world works. It's going to be a bit the same in crypto. Like, already we're talking about 100x improvements, just the fact that you can move your coins, and you, if you hold them yourself, you own it, not any bank or other institution. That in itself is quite revolutionary. But I think the killer app we are talking about right now, that's already available, we don't know what will be out there in 5-10 years, but already available, is the opportunity to access investment opportunities, such as coming out of DeFi, without having to go through any traditional institutions charging you fees everywhere. So if you're a bit able to actually navigate that market, you can, as a regular person, whether you're in London, New York, or in Nairobi, or anywhere else, you have actually access on equal terms to these opportunities. And that's a huge thing.
And that's what I think is really cool when I have this conversation with people as well, is, you know, Bitcoin kind of started the revolution, but, you know, it kind of, it didn't run out of steam. It's still there. It's always going to be part of the narrative of what crypto and the history is. But, you know, it was able to bank the unbanked, essentially, because everyone can have a wallet, whether on a smartphone, paper wallet, it doesn't matter. Everyone can be self-inclusive. But it did nothing more than kind of service transactions around. When you get to talk about the DeFi stuff, you know, and Ethereum specifically here we're talking about, and Compound, etc., you're getting access to not only the same kind of facility, you know, you can move back and forth Ethereum between wallets, right? But now you've got this other layer, which is so much more powerful, which not only has a unbanked property, but it has a financial inclusion now that even with, you know, $10, you could become a market maker or a liquidity provider on Uniswap or any other kind of things like that. And I suppose for me especially, that's what I find super interesting about this space, is that there's no, you know, minimum £1,000 investment. There's no minimum 12-month lockup, which a lot of traditional institutions are kind of been based on. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that, Gabriel?
I think there are like two buckets. One is that the blockchain guys, the cryptocurrency community, are building just a better banking system. So you can see faster transactions. You can see like saving accounts, that is basically the staking. So you have the money somewhere and they give you an interest every month. And then there's another bucket that's actually a new logics, new innovation. Now the innovation part is actually the technology is there. You can do whatever you want, or you can do a lot of new commercial models. But I think the business is a little bit behind, so it's not really using the full potential of blockchain. So some project like Unstoppable Domain, for example, they allow you to buy domains that are censorship free, and you know, you own it, and the transaction is one off, it's an unfungible token. That's a new model that works very well. The concept of staking in itself, and the fact that you can also resell your token that is being staked. So can say it's also like a very good model. So I think there is like these two components. Sometimes, for example, there's Zilliqa. Zilliqa, they can do their best use case is payments. So for payments, they can do around 60,000 transactions per second. And if you take Visa or MasterCard, they can do around 30 to 40,000 transactions per second. So already with some project that exists, that you can see a huge improvement on the banking system that is basically at the moment is just spaghetti code. All the SWIFT, all the IBAN, their network that are really, there is a lot of politics involved, and actually the SWIFT network, it's actually a private company. So they need really like some competitors to disrupt that industry.
And that was a question I was asked, I think, probably about this time last year, is like, when are the big players going to come into the space? You know, when are they going to start, you know, leveraging some of this technology? And my answer to that was that it's not when they kind of come in, it's when they join us. You know, they're probably looking at the space right now and looking at what works and what doesn't. You know, what's going to be the app that, you know, outperforms Visa, MasterCard, just like your example there? And the answer to that is probably going to be Visa and MasterCard. because they're going to take, you know, the best of the best, either absorb it, fork it, make their own copy of it, just like we saw with JP Morgan and the Quorum network. You know, they're doing some really amazing stuff on that, their own internal network now, which is based off Ethereum, right? And it's going to be when these key players come in and really start driving huge investment into kind of these either, you know, public chains or forks onto their own private chains. What's going to be faster than Visa and MasterCard? It's probably still going to be Visa and MasterCard in the day, right? Because they have the most users, and the most users, the most revenue is what's going to drive adoption, right? As I suppose, I suppose for you guys, what's the next revolution in retail trading? Yeah, just to kind of come back to that a bit, what do you see as the next thing that's going to get more people involved?
I think there's a huge part on the education. So for example, with Coinrule, we want to be the Duolingo for traders. So the part that people will have more, there will be more kind of finance savvy. They will know more a little bit how to invest. It's also what has been happening in Japan like 20 years ago. So I think you know, the male in Japan are much more kind of tech savvy and also finance savvy than the people out here in Europe. So I think in Europe you will have the same revolution. So kind of investing and managing your wealth will be more and more some skill that you need to have. And at same point you have also the tools to like Revolut, like Monzo. Also on Revolut now you can buy stocks with one click, with Robinhood, with Plum, a lot of apps that help you save money. I think they are out there. So if you have a little bit of knowledge, you can also start using it. And also there is a little bit of kind of this layer of skepticism towards those new tools. But as the new millennials that actually are now 30 to 40 years old are growing, the skepticism will go away, and they, you know, we'll be able to access like a new suite of tools.
Yeah. And do you think it's almost like that the change in the narrative is becoming even more, you know, more pressing now, because, you know, leaving money in your bank doesn't yield anything. You know, leaving in traditional stocks and shares is just as shaky as, you know, the perception of crypto as well. And I mean, I suppose this is for you, Oleg. Do you think that the more positive press that, you know, I suppose crypto and DeFi and those kind of apps can lead, you know, with your Revoluts and your Monzos, and really show that, you know, a small player and a new player in the space can make a huge difference. What other kind of positive effects do you think we need to get in either the younger crowd or the older crowd to kind of get that adoption spread as wide as possible?
I think it's less a one event thing, it's more a process. Like, I've recently seen that Revolut actually, you know, so when Revolut started offering crypto trading, a lot of people joined in, but then of course you couldn't withdraw the actual cryptos from the platform. So it was kind of like basically useless. But they're actually introducing it now that it's becoming a proper exchange. So you will actually be able to withdraw your cryptos from Revolut. That's huge. Like, that touches so many people. I've had friends who are like my fiance's cousins, who are like early 20s, tell me they bought their first Bitcoins over lockdown. And these are like the last people ever I would have expected to do that. It's just, you see what happens is that it's just a process. And one day we look back and we're like, wow, 70% of people own cryptocurrency and use it in their everyday life. When did that happen? You know?
And I think that will happen so quickly that when we went from, you know, like, what was it last year, 0.5% of the global population will suddenly be at 2% in kind of no time. And, you know, the people that I suppose we talk to very early in our group, I mean, we go to networking events here in London quite a lot and we see each other, and those groups have kind of grown and more people have kind of come in, and they usually come in for the first time, right? I heard about this and I did some research and I wanted to meet some people face to face. Obviously that's been a bit difficult over COVID, but there are new faces turning up to these events and new faces coming into the groups, genuinely looking for information, which I think is really, really good. And I suppose it kind of comes down to, what are you most looking forward to? We'll start with you, Gabriel. What are you most looking forward to in crypto in the next 12 months?
Oh, I mean, a lot of things. I'm looking for something that makes sense. Still today, when someone asked me about crypto, I was like, what am I buying? And it's hard to actually answer what you're buying when you're buying Dogecoin, Litecoin. You know, some coins, yeah, they have like a good project behind it. They have a platform where you can use this token. So there is some sort of a business model, but, you know, 90% of the project have no business case. So, and when you have a, you know, we have a fintech B2C company, and we started actually with a proposition that came from user needs, something very real. And now we are building also the technology towards the DeFi. So we started from very kind of pragmatic approach. So I think I would like to see more projects either like launched, but not just launched, like, you know, we launched the mainnet or the testnet. actually we have this business model, we have this plan of monetizing these users, and that's the actual value we are adding to the community, instead of just the you know, kind of a small incremental change or innovation with a new blockchain. But I'm very excited about all the new projects, like, you know, Celo, Solana, all these like new projects are coming out, and potentially also Polkadot, that finally will also like be
finally
kind of wider, yeah, adopted. Yes, I was one of the early investors in the ICO, so I hope it will go well.
Cool. And Oleg, same question. What are you most looking forward to over the next 12 months?
Definitely the things that Gabriele mentioned very much. I'm also looking forward to growing enthusiasm about the space, but without like this craziness of 2017. Mm. So basically things like DeFi really starting to gain more and more adoption and people continuing to be excited about the potential, but without like jumping in head first, hoping to quickly make some money out of it.
Mm. So not a get rich quick, but not a get poor slow kind of thing as well. So that's kind of what I want to see is you know, real adoption, people really looking at the space as, you know, for what it is. I think there is something for everyone. You can be a crypto speculator and a trader. There's nothing wrong with wanting to make money. You can look at a way to unbank yourself from traditional banking and traditional government control. There's sending payments to the other side of the world. It's your money. You should be able to do what you want with it, as long as you can prove who you are and you're not using it for nefarious means. And I think those kind of last two points is what kind of ruins it for everyone. There's a lot of really great projects out there. There's a lot of really great potential out there. But unfortunately, because it's still a 10, 12 year old industry, very, very young, there is some wild, wild west elements to it. And I think some of those things in terms of regulation and compliance, some of that understanding is that we have to, you know, as I suppose as businesses in this space, as startups that are growing to try and grow our user count, grow our revenues, is that we almost get viewed and have to perform in the same light as a massive institution, especially at CoinPass. You know, we're a cryptocurrency-based exchange that talks to people's banks. There's a huge amount of compliance and a huge amount of responsibility there, and we're seen in the same light as a bank, but we're a team of 20. You know what I mean? So I think for this space to really sort of expand is for people to look at it as a real financial asset and look at it as a real technology that can be leveraged for good, not just bad, that can be leveraged for, you know, making a good income and a good investment portfolio. And I think all of those things mixed together in a positive light usually is where we find ourselves in our ecosystem, right? I don't think there's many negative bad players in our ecosystem, even in London or any other parts of the world. It's the outliers which ruin it for everyone else. And I think if we can grow out of that over the next 12 months and see some steady gains, not some 2017 madness, I think it'll be a good place for all. So I suppose that kind of gives really nice ending to the podcast here. I suppose, what is CoinRule doing right now and in the future to take full advantage of the changes that we think are going to come over the next kind of 12 months? I'd like to start with you.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, like the user experience and education point, we want to make it as easy as possible, as accessible as possible for everyone to join this revolution. So people who want to gain exposure, who want to make a little bit more out with their funds, invest a little bit more actively and catch the opportunities, protect themselves from the risks, we want to make it as easy as possible for them with CoinRule.
Awesome. And Gabriel, same question. What is CoinRule doing to take full advantage?
I think our idea is that in the future, you will be making automated trades like 90% of the time. So we want to add this layer of automation across all the exchanges, all the dApps, all the centralized apps, so that you can actually swap coins in an automatic way across platforms. So the idea is to have, you have access to this automation across all your wallets that you have on different accounts. So that's for us the big step forward for CoinRule, at least in 1 to 2 years. And we see that the user really wants like to have a smart routing when you have an order, arbitrage opportunities. So that one, that layer across platform and DeFi and centralized apps will allow them to have access to kind of an infinity of trades.
Cool. That's awesome. And that's a really great point to kind of end the podcast on today. Oleg and Gabriel, thank you very much for being a part of it. It's really great to have you on.
Thank you very much.
No problem. It was great.
And if you want to get in touch, what's the best way? Is it your website, social media?
So yeah, so the best way is coinrule.io, our website. You can also reach us on @CoinRuleHQ via Twitter, email us on info@coinrule.io, or reach us personally on Twitter. I'm on @OGiberstein, and Gabriele is @FreshMuse.
Awesome. So those will be in the links below for everyone that wants to have a look. And you know, thank you very much for your time, guys. And for anyone out there that, if you'd like to be a guest on our show one day, that want to talk about trading, fintech, crypto, blockchain, etc., you know, send us a tweet as well at CoinPass Global, or at myself at Jeff_CoinPass on Twitter. Follow us on LinkedIn, or even drop us an email, podcast@coinpass.com. And one last time, I want to thank my guest Oleg and Gabriel for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure having you guys on the CoinPass podcast. So thank you very much, guys. Have a great weekend, and stay safe.
Thank you,
Thank you very
Jeff.
much, guys. Bye.
Bye.